Frank had found it difficult to hand over the reins to someone else, especially when that someone had been such an unpromising specimen during Frank's early years as sheriff. As a teenager, Adam Jordan had gotten into one scrape after another and had nearly worried his parents sick before he enlisted with Uncle Sam. Somehow, the army had straightened him out, and he'd returned home to become the town's new sheriff.
"Boy's made a fool of himself with that new teacher," Frank chuckled. "Again. Locked her keys inside her car trying to show her the importance of security."
Dovey groaned, embarrassed for Adam. Anyone could see he was infatuated with Jeannie French. Fresh out of college, the first grade teacher had been hired the previous August, and Adam Jordan hadn't been the same since. He'd done everything he could think of to attract her attention, but according to rumor, he hadn't yet asked her out on a date.
"Naturally, he had no way of knowing that she always throws her car keys under the front seat," Frank explained. "Why in heaven's name would she do something like that?" "Apparently, she picked up the habit from her father. He's got a ranch a ways north of here. Not much concern about theft in these parts."
So Adam was smitten, and the new schoolteacher ignored him. The two of them had become a running joke around town. Adam, for all his skills and talents, didn't know a damn thing about letting a woman know he was interested. The pair of them needed some guidance and good advice, but Davy didn't know who was going to provide it. At one time, that role would have fallen to her, but now, with her antique shop and small tea room doing so well, she already had more than she could handle.
"By the way," Frank said, "I stopped at the travel agency. Gala had our tickets."
He slid the airline packet out of his hip pocket and set it on the counter. This European vacation had been planned for months. It was going to be a combination of business and pleasure. Dovey and Frank would spend 2 weeks touring major cities on the continent, purchasing a few antiques and visiting a museum here and there. They considered the trip a honeymoon of sorts, although Frank was quick to insist that their entire marriage had been a honeymoon. Dovey wrapped her arms around her husband. She couldn't wait. They'd talked about this trip for ages, dreamed about it too. Soon they would be seeing exciting museums, shopping for antiques, and enjoying the sights, and each other. Come to promise. Annie Applegate repeated Jane's invitation aloud as she drove down the narrow Texas highway toward her new life. Her friends in California thought she was crazy to pack up everything she owned and move to Texas, to a town she'd never even seen. Perhaps they were right, but it felt good to be taking some positive action. When they were teenagers, Jane Dickinson had been one of Annie's best friends. Correction, Dr. Jane Patterson. It was hard to remember that Jane wasn't simply Jane any longer, but a fully certified physician. Not only that, Jane was married, and Annie wasn't. Oh, she had been. But a serious car accident had left her with a permanent limp, and a husband who found himself incapable of loving a woman whose once perfect body was now marred by ugly red scars. No, Annie told herself, she was not going to dwell on Billy, although that vow had become nearly impossible since she'd learned his new wife was pregnant. What hurt most was that Billy knew how much she'd long for a child. Before the wedding, they'd frequently discussed the family they'd have. At least three kids close together. Annie had thought of little else but quitting her job at the library and becoming a full-time wife and mother. During the 5 years of their marriage, Billy had put her off with a detailed list of reasons they should wait before starting a family. In retrospect, it was a blessing children hadn't been involved in the divorce. Annie had wanted to put all the pain and betrayal of the marriage behind her.
"Make a new life for yourself and promise," Jane had suggested. "Our library has a limited budget and is only open part-time. This town needs a good bookstore."
In the weeks since, they'd exchanged countless letters and talked endlessly, running up huge long-distance bills. Her friend had described the people of Promise, the community itself,
and her own role as physician in the town's only clinic. Hearing Jane's enthusiasm for Promise, Texas, Annie understood her decision not to return to California. In some ways, Annie already felt part of the community. She knew the town and its history. She knew something about every family in the area. And thanks to Jane, she could almost talk like a Texan. When she reached the town limits, the church steeple was the first thing to catch her attention. The bowling alley was next, then the city park, followed by the post office. It was exactly as Jane had described it. Annie pulled into the bowling alley parking lot and cut the engine. Jordan's Town and Country Western Wear sat on the corner across the street. And there it was, the empty space next door. Annie put down money to lease with an option to buy. Jane had assured Annie this would be the perfect spot for a bookstore. Annie had contacted the rental agent, and they'd quickly reached an agreement. A bookstore was just what the town needed, it seemed, and Annie could think of no better way to invest her insurance settlement. Best of all, there was a small apartment above the store. This was to be Annie's home. Annie climbed out of the car and glanced around, observing the feel of the town. The sun shone brightly for May. Birdsong was all around. It was a nice place, Annie decided. Everything she'd anticipated and more. Yes, Jane was right. Promise would indeed make her a good home. With that in mind, Annie headed toward the clinic, knowing Jane was awaiting her arrival. As luck would have it, Jane was talking to her receptionist when Annie stepped inside the clinic. Annie! Jane hurried toward her, smiling hugely and engulfing her in an enthusiastic hug. You look wonderful! So do you, Annie returned in all honesty. Jane was almost 7 months pregnant and looked absolutely radiant. I've got 15 minutes or so between appointments, Jane said, tugging at Annie's hand. Come and meet Dovey, and if there's time, I'll take you over to meet Ellie, and then... Already? Annie protested, but not too strenuously. She'd been hearing about the Women of Promise for months. No, years. She couldn't wait to meet them, even if she didn't know how she'd keep them all straight. Dovey baked scones this morning, and I promised Ellie I'd give her a call the minute you got here. Savannah's dying to meet you, too. Annie nodded. She remembered who Savannah was. Dovey, an older woman, owned an antique shop, and Ellie, she recalled, was married to Cal Patterson's brother, Glenn. Moments earlier, Annie had been exhausted, but 5 minutes with Jane and she was raring to go. I want to see my store as soon as I can. The apartment, too, of course. Max Jordan has the key for you. That's his Western Wear store. By the way, his son was recently elected sheriff. He's single, if you're interested. I'm not, Annie assured her, but had to laugh. It was almost as if they were back in high school. Jane, with her boundless energy for life, was always trying to organize everyone else's lives. Oh, Annie, you're gonna love it here. Both her children were down for their afternoon naps, and that meant Savannah Smith had an hour to herself. She poured a cup of tea and reached for the mail. Early afternoon was her favorite time of day. With two children constantly underfoot, it seemed the house was rarely quiet. Not that Savannah had cause for complaint. She adored her children and loved her husband Laredo deeply. She sifted through the envelopes, automatically setting aside the bills and tossing the advertisements in the trash. Then she saw it. Her address scrawled in a familiar hand, and froze. The letter was from Richard Weston, her brother. The name of the correctional institution was stamped on the back of the envelope, along with a warning that the letter had not been inspected. In the 3 years since Richard had been incarcerated, this was the first letter Savannah had received from him. He wouldn't have written if he didn't want something. She knew that without a shred of doubt. Her younger brother was a constant source of pain to the family. During his last visit to Promise, he'd wrought havoc and brought disgrace into the lives of both herself and her older brother Grady, not to mention the other residents of Promise. Savannah had searched fruitlessly for an explanation.
some event in their childhood that had shaped Rich.